What I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to turn to page 12, and I'd like you to talk to me, because you've had a chance to study page 12 in your prep workbooks, and I'd like your feedback on it. So, sorry, before we do that, I apologise. Just glance at page 11, if you would. The context of the rest of the day, until we get to mid-afternoon, will be around this particular graphic, the real graphic. So we want to create a real life here. Real means rule reduction, rule destruction, elimination, automation in order to achieve liberation. It's kind of corny, isn't it? But it's a mnemonic that's easy to remember. So let's get real. Let's turn over to page 12. I need some feedback. Tell me what you thought, what your thoughts were as you studied page 12 in your preparatory workbooks. So you'll need your preparatory workbooks, which I know you've bought. And just want to take some thoughts. Why doesn't Nigel start us off? Thoughts that came to you as you read through that page 12?
Only you can make it happen. Step back for a moment and take stock. Get off the mouse's wheel. Fail to plan, plan to fail. Time waits for no man. Get on with it. And do you realise you have seen the obstacles for yourself?
That's great. Thank you. In his spare time, Nigel writes quotes and phrase books. Okay. Every quote or phrase you ever heard came from Nigel. He's very good. No, that's Chris. Thank you, Nigel. That just sets us off. Think about what he said and expand on it. Expand on it. Jeremy, what thoughts did you have as you read on that page and studied it and pondered it?
I found it a bit difficult. So my overriding thought was rules are there to be broken.
Okay, and what sort of rules are there to be destroyed?
Rules, for instance, would say that that clients won't pay upfront fees.
Yeah, that's a rule. I want rules more about you and your business. What are the rules we're trying to destroy here? Just on that page, on that particular page.
Sorry?
On that particular page.
For instance, thinking more money is a solution is actually it's more time is a solution rather than more money.
Okay, so that's a rule that could be broken. And we you know, as I thank you, Jeremy, as I coach you, as I first meet you in discovery meetings, I get a lot of comments that suggest to me, if I had more money in this particular life of mine, you know what, that would solve the problems that I have. That would just get me to the solution I really want. And I sit there thinking, well, that's possible. Maybe there's a lack of money there. But I'm not sure the mindset will get you to where you want to get. The mindset's all wrong. More money is not the problem. Tell me more about the rules we're trying to destroy on this page. On this page, what do these things poke at? What do they start to question?
You.
Yeah, certainly questions you. Okay, but particular subjects they start to question. Particular subjects. Graham, you want to start us off? On that page, some particular subjects we're threatening here.
Well, it's the restrictions, or I suppose your general life pattern, the way you work at this moment in time, the rest of your office hours, that type of scenario denotes where you're going to get is not necessarily more money as a solution, but more profitable business.
Okay, well, that's a solution. I'm looking to destroy some rules. The very top one. What's the very top one all about? You're all ignoring that, and that's the biggest one of all.
Well, I'll have time when I retire.
Yeah, will I have time when I retire? But there's a bigger myth than this.
Well, will you retire?
Will you be able
to retire? Yeah. Here's the myth. What's this retirement thing all about? Where did you buy this? And what's the retirement age in your mind? What's the retirement age in your head? The statutory one. You're all looking around, communicating to me. In 8 years' time, when I'm 55 or 60, I'll be doing, why 8 years? Or, and I've had a number of you saying this, you younger folk have said this to me. In 18 years' time, I'm sitting there thinking, 18 years? Why would anybody want to wait 18 years to do what you want to do? Why 18 years? What's that got to do with anything? How old will you be then? Oh, I'll be 55 or 60. Tell me about your body when you're 60. Okay? Because we'll, us older folk, we'll tell you about the body when you're 60, won't we? Tell me about the body and the mind and the heart when you're 60. Tell me. What's it all, what happens?
Slows down.
Yeah, you're just falling apart. Look at me, look. Two of these, blind as a bat, you're all beautiful. Okay? Got heat pad on. I got some tea. Okay? I found a muscle in the gym the other day. One. Okay? Haven't been to the gym for six weeks, so I got a back pain. Apparently I walk strangely, according to my osteo. Alright? He watched me running down the road the other day. I didn't realise he was spying on me. 6:15 one morning, this was a couple of years ago when I was doing my 6 mile business, and I've got to stop doing that now. He said, "You're all wonky." Okay? No, he said, "You're wonky." Okay? And it's put your hips out, and that's why you keep coming to me more frequently. Back 60. I mean, you're a wreck. Why wait for anything until you're 60? What are you waiting for? Why aren't you freer sooner?
I think there's a condition to mindset.
Somebody's conditioned you to think, I can't get there till I'm 60.
And I think it's also a safety valve for ourselves to sort of put it off doing something.
Yes.
Until we're 60, because we say, you know, I'll wait until then.
Yeah. What happens when you do that and you retire at 60? What does that mean, you retire at 60? What do you have masses of when you suddenly give up work?
Time.
Have a look at the left-hand side of the page. Go west. Things in excess become their opposite. Now talk to me about time in retirement. In the context of that box.
A little bit of something is good, but it's more necessarily better.
Yeah. In fact, thank you very much. Thank you. Just one on the table. One per table, thank you. At least.
If you've got that much time, you don't know what to do with it, then you're doing nothing.
You do. What happens to men, executives, male executives, who've been going out the clappers for 40 years, retire and end up doing nothing except for golf? What happens to them? They die. They die. It's a pretty lousy thing to wait for, 40 years, to drop dead. The whole thing just doesn't make sense. And yet you're so conditioned, and me too, that's what we've been working our socks off for 40 years, to stop and then drop dead. Women aren't that stupid, but men are really, really stupid in that sense. We just don't get it. We've been conditioned, and the whole conditioning is a complete and utter nonsense. So here's the challenge for you, to so create a business whereby you don't wait until you're 60 or 65 to be free, not to do nothing, but to enjoy the days in the way that you really want to enjoy them as life goes on, whilst enjoying the cash flow that will support that comfortably. The problem with today's population.
On that subject, the question which I've asked myself quite often is that if your business is valued, let's say, 3 or 4 times renewal,
yeah,
why sell it?
why not just spend maybe 2 or 3 hours a week in this?
If you want to, yeah.
10 years, yeah.
Go to the right-hand side of the page, the east side. Who here has a cash flow plan that shows them when they can be free? Now, I mean, if I ask you to print it out tomorrow from the office and post it to me, who has a cash flow plan? Why do you have a cash flow plan that shows you can be free? When did that come about, Andy?
Well, it came after the first meeting with you, really, David, because ours is only a small practice, and we need to set up the practice, really, to deliver what we wanted in our personal life. So where we had to start was what we wanted in our personal life before we could actually decide what we wanted from the business.
Yeah. Andy and Jean then went away. Obviously, there's a lot of private things they told me I can't share with you, but in broad terms, the message I got was fairly common. We can't do all the things we want to do. Our business is consuming us. Anybody resonate with that? They then sent me an email which says, we're living life. So I was just so excited. I sat in the office going, oh, it's great. This is worth working for. This is worth coaching for. We're living the life we've said we can't live. They just did a cash flow plan which said, actually, you don't need to flog the business for £1 million, which is what I keep getting from all of you. We just need X days a week free, or X hours a week free, and the cash flow looks like this. What's this 60 all about? We want to do it whilst we have health. And do it without getting into debt. Today's population, of course, wants it all now, but gets into debt doing it and ends up with nothing in retirement. Then you've got a social problem on the country, and the whole country gets into huge debt, and we are now in serious problems, aren't we? Because we just, you know, just hasn't thought about how to do this. So my challenge to you today is to walk away from today with a mindset which says, I know how to create 2 extra days a week free to live the life I want to live now, whilst the cash flow gets better and better and better and better. Wouldn't that be good? Let's turn the page. I just want you to do, I'm going to give you no more than 2 minutes to go really fast, gut reaction to the questions. If you had 5 million in the bank, what would you do? And of course, you don't need 5 million in the bank. But it will get you thinking. It will stop you saying, can't quite do that, costs too much. Just 5 million in the bank, what would you do? Then drop to the next question. In order to wake up excited every morning of your life, what would be going on in your life? Does that make sense? What would be going on?
Do you have to show this to your wife afterwards?
Sorry, let me just make sure the transcriber got that. That was... That's Mr. Andy. We get messages from the transcribers who transcribe these audios saying, what did he say? Who was that? We just say, just put initials. Quickly do that. Just 2 minutes. Just gut reaction. Just do it. But take this away and do it back at home. Okay, stop. I would ask you to think about that during the lunch break and the tea breaks and share it right at the end of the day. But I've just set you thinking now. You're probably thinking, oh, I want to spend about an hour on this. And you really should. You should go home and quietly do this. This is a must exercise, just to let your heart free. And stop putting constraints on yourself that really are totally artificial and a part of your mental conditioning. You've created the problem that this doesn't exist. You've created the conditions that you can't do this. Now free yourself and just live in your head and your heart, put it on paper, and then ask the question, how do I create a business that allows me to do these things? And we'll share some of it at the end of the day. Okay. Let's turn over to page 14, because this will help you get there. I'm going to touch on just a few of these, not all of them, because some of them are more powerful than others. I'm going to be really blunt. and this isn't kind. The times I just have to be tough with you in order to push you outside of where you're sitting and comfortable. If you're overwhelmed, then somewhere in your life you've engaged in very lazy thinking. I'll repeat that. If you're overwhelmed, then somewhere in your life you've engaged in very lazy thinking. I won't question how hard you work. I know some of you just work like fury. I'm not questioning what you do, I'm questioning how you think. And if you're overwhelmed, that signals to you and me, somewhere along this conditioning process, getting down this Grand Canyon, I've allowed myself to engage in some really lazy thinking. I've not been thinking clearly. Nobody has made me accountable for the way I think. If you have lack of time, it's because you're really not clear what your priorities are. And in fact, you've got too many priorities. I remember a definition of time I heard about 1988. Time is that thing which stops every darn thing becoming every darn thing at once. A definition of time. And if you've not got time, it's because you're not clear of what your priorities are annually, monthly, weekly and daily. I've got a kid working with me, Sam Reimer, I mentioned him before. He's not perfect, he's just 22. He makes mistakes and screws up. But I love being able to give him a monthly objective. So he's only been working with me for 8 weeks now, and I give him a monthly objective. This is where we're going this month. Then I say, and this week we need to have got here in order to get there. Does that make sense? This week we need to go here in order to get there by the end of the month. Then I ask him, I want you to produce a 1 week schedule to tell me how you're going to get there or help me get there. And he does. On a Monday morning, every Monday morning, puts on my desk a schedule that you all see and that I've talked to you about, which looks like that. Okay? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, AM, PM. Okay? And he puts his task for the week on that. I don't have to tell him, this is what you do today. This is where we're going. This is where I need to be by the end of this week. You tell me how I'm going to get there in your role. Every Monday, one of those lands on my desk. This is what I'm doing this week to help you get here by the end of the month. Just thinks conditionally. Yeah, thinks long-term strategic. 22 years old, that's how he's been trained and conditioned to think. Wouldn't you love a bunch of 22-year-olds who could think like that? Energy of a 22-year-old thinking, in 18 months' time I want to be here, in a month's time I want to be there, in a week's time I've got to be there, this is what I'm doing this week. Bang, 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 on my desk, Monday morning, bang, 9 o'clock. Fabulous way to work.
David, can I ask please what are the headings there? And
so AM, PM?
Yeah?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He doesn't do daily to-do lists, does a weekly planner. And everybody I've ever had working for me works like that. Thinks weekly. And then if I throw a job at him, guess what he asks me? Well, hold on a second. You just agreed those are my week's priorities because you agreed the list. Where are you telling me that this new job goes? I go, Oh, sorry, Sam. Well, guess you better cross that one out and move it down here. So, just checking. Actually managing upwards. A bit smart, isn't it? Lack of time means you've lack of priorities. What do I mean by boxes 3 and 4? Ego is an enemy and tyranny of acquisition and consumption. What's all that about? have a bash. Arthur will start us off.
Yeah, ego is your own inflated ego. You're always right, I'm always right, you're wrong.
And what does that cause us to do in this desire to get a four-day weekend? And how does it link to box four?
Because I think I don't actually need your help. I'm doing quite well the way I am just now. I'm moving ahead and I'm acquiring things that I want. So why should I change?
Okay. Yeah, that's
something. You're a devil's advocate, of course.
Yes. I wrote an email. This is about acquisition and consumption, and I need you all to ponder this in your own private lives. I can't make a moral judgment on what you can acquire or consume, but let me share an email with you that I wrote on the thinking bench about 5 years ago that got me into a relationship with Andrew Walsh, who's one of my mentors. I wrote an email about Bryony, who then was about nine. And it was when she was about six or seven that I was writing about. She was six or seven, and we set her up with a whole range of jobs so she could earn some pennies to buy an electric typewriter. And we created this range of jobs that a little seven-year-old could do easily in order to earn some gold stars, and every gold star on her door was a penny, or a pound, or whatever the value of the star was. And she worked so hard. And at seven, who knows what 2 months means? Could have been, might have well said 500 years, but bless her little cotton socks, she little bobblehead, you know, cleaned out a hamster and helped mummy with the hoovering and did a bit of washing up and whatever it was, tidied her bed. She worked so hard, and daddy, mummy would sit on the bed and praise her every night. That's another gold star. So I'm so proud of you. We got through it, and eventually she made it. We'd slip in the odd pound coin here and there into a little jar, and she had this huge jar of coins. And it's so heavy she couldn't carry it. And we went, and I think it was somewhere like Argos. And we helped her carry it. And we put it in her arms. We said, hold that, baby. And we had a plastic bag handle so she couldn't drop it. And she took it up to the counter. And she got the ticket where mummy and daddy had written the electric typewriter code number. And the lady went, right, electric typewriter, little girl, would you like that? Yes, okay. Now you need to give me your pennies. No, if you want the typewriter, you need to give me your pennies. And she looked at these pennies, and she looked at the picture of the typewriter, and she looked at the pennies, and tears welled up in her eyes. And I thought my heart was going to break in the middle of Argos. This seven-year-old had learned the gut-wrenching value of an electric typewriter, and it wasn't worth it. Anyway, mummy persuaded her to hand over the pennies, and she got the electric typewriter, because we'd been working our socks off to get this typewriter. We were going to get this typewriter. She never, ever used the typewriter. Andrew Walsh read this. He was one of my clients as a financial planner. We got on quite well. I had a lot of respect for him. Quite a powerful man. I had to sack the whole board of electronics company because they got the company into £20 million debt. And he did a backward takeover of the company, walked in, just sat the whole board. So he was beautiful and spiritual, but could be very tough when he needed to be to make something survive. He phoned me up and he said, I've just read about Bryony. I have to tell you, I walked into my bedroom, opened my very large wardrobe, looked at all my suits, Armani, and the many, 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 many hundreds of pounds I paid for them, took them all bar one, put them in the car, took them down to the charity shop, gave it to the charity shop. Because I suddenly rocked back on my heels and realised what a waste of my life to acquire something that I don't need and I don't even now want. So in this country, in this society, we get caught up in acquisition and consumption, and our ego, Arthur, drives it. I want more. It's not enough to have a toilet that flushes and water that runs and a warm bed at night and love in my home. I want more. And we end up in this desperately consuming trap of a business that has to feed more. And then we complain that we can't break free. And we set the conditions. And Bryony could sit with you and explain it isn't worth it. Because you're trapping for years of your life and losing the freedom that life really would allow you if only you'd set the conditions to buy the freedom. She could tell you a story. From the mouths of babes, I think the scriptures say. And after that experience, Andrew then became eventually my mentor. Have a look at the bottom left-hand box. Who here has staff working for them? Okay. Who here outsources tasks outside of their staff working for them? Okay. One of the reasons why we're trapped and we're not always free is because we aren't very good at it. Who here was trained formally in how to lead and manage personnel? Okay, it's tough, isn't it? Who here has had a really bad staff or support person experience in the last 5 years? And where you think, oh, goodness sake, get out. Screwed up your business. We didn't buy into this when we started being a financial advisor, yet this is the price of being free. The ability, the learned ability, you weren't born with it, to lead and manage people. And we're going to spend this afternoon talking about leading and managing people, one of the conditionings. We're just naturally not that good at it. And we have to learn through a lot of pain of getting things wrong. And there are better ways of doing it if we just open ourselves out to learning those better ways rather than just bumbling through it and hoping that we're doing it okay. I was down in Tuesday, down in Newbury. I watched the face of a consummately brilliant financial planner dissolve throughout the day. They were just distraught. Because they realised by the end of the day, they were so brilliant at being a financial planner, they were absolutely hopeless at recruiting support team. And they were paying a very painful price doing it. And they'd spent 2 months in fits on the email and on the phone, laser coaching me, talking about how to cure this support problem. By the end of the day, the person realised they were the problem. They'd set the conditions of recruitment, training, reviews and measurement of performance, and they were all wrong. And they ended up with the backwash of rubbish. And they were distraught. It's me, I'm the problem. The conditions have been set incorrectly. So all of these things, if we could get them out of our lives and do them effectively or not do them at all, you know what? You'd create more time. You'd be freer.